We've just read this story of Peter stepping out of the boat, walking on the water for a little. And what a miracle. What a thought that he would even try it. The other disciples didn't even venture out at all. Peter gets a whole lot of flack because he tried something in field. But the other fellows didn't even try it. I take it as a wise statement that I comfort myself with, yet that it's the man who never made a mistake never made anything. And here is Peter, and he becomes a great example to us of what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. He didn't make it all alone. If the Savior hadn't been there, we're not sure what would have happened to Peter. I assume that he could swim. But can you imagine what it would have been like for him to swim back and clamber into the boat? Those other disciples appear. What was wrong with you to think that you could walk in the water? And there are people saying about you today, who do you think you are that you can live an upright, godly, Christian life in the world in which we live? Who do you think you are? And here is Peter stepping out of the boat, and he's walking toward his Lord. And then the wind gets up and boisterous, and he sees the water foaming, churning around him, and he loses it. Has that ever happened to you? Is that not the story of our walk in this world? I want to realize that Christianity is a supernatural work and a supernatural walk. And as soon as faith diminishes, so does our walk. The moment we take our eyes off the Lord, we sink. We don't do things as well as we should for God. We don't pray as we should. We don't read our Bibles as we should. We don't witness to the lost as we should. We don't live in joy as we ought. We lose it because we take our eyes off the Lord. Unbelief means powerlessness, inability to do. And there are many things in the Christian life that can only be done through faith. And therefore the Lord concluded, as he said to Peter, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The Lord has also said in another occasion, according to your faith be it unto you. And so there is a calculating set of ratios here. The more you believe, the more you will do. The less you believe, the less you will do. Faith is the most important thing in the Christian life as we seek to live for God above the world. Whenever the early church was seeking a set of deacons, and they were praying for men and seeking to choose men who would serve the church as deacons in practical work, ministering to widows and so on, they sought out a man called Stephen, who was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, those two things do go together. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Someone commented to me that the picture of John Bunyan of the man pouring water on the fire while someone else on the other side was pouring oil on, and hence the fire kept burning. How is it that you keep going on as a Christian? How do you keep living in a life of victory in this world, day after day and year after year? It's the Holy Spirit giving you faith. Faith is vital. So we want to look at this incident here of Peter attempting to walk in the water and learn what we can of what it is to live by faith and not by sight. Faith is to seek all our strength in the Lord. Where faith is strong, we're relying on the Lord's power. That's it. End of sermon. You can go home now. If you've learned that, you can go home. That's it. Here is Peter walking in the water while he's looking to the Lord and keeps his eyes on him. It works. He doesn't sink. But the moment his eyes go down to the wind and the boisterous water around him, there he goes. He's up to the neck in water. He took his eyes off the Lord. Faith enables us to to do great things for God, whereas otherwise we would be totally weak. When the Israelites went into the promised land, those spies went in. Many of those spies, they saw giants in the land. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, and they saw grasshoppers through the eyes of God, that is, through faith. And what a different perspective. When you're living in faith, you see things differently. You see them as God sees them. And what a difference that makes. If we're not living by faith, even though you might have your soul saved and you're going to heaven, not doubting your conversion, but if you're not living by faith, you're no different from the unconverted in the world who do things by natural laws alone. They just take all the advice of the world and they follow it and they get through life. And a Christian could do that too. Just follow all the natural laws of life and you get through. It's not a life of faith. It's not living the Christian life. Trusting the arm of flesh, leaning on our own wisdom, in our own planning, in our own power, in our own skill, our past experience, that's all living by sight. And it's no different from the skills that an unconverted, unsaved person would use. Now, how do you define looking unto Jesus? We're exhorted to do that in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How do you look unto the Lord Jesus? Now, we know how Peter did it physically out on that lake. As he went from boat to where the Lord Jesus was walking, he was able to gaze physically with his eyes looking on him. But a life of faith, what is it to look unto Jesus? Well, it's to believe in his deity, that he is God in the flesh. He's God. That changes everything right away. He's divine. There he is out walking in the water. He's God. This is not man. That's faith at work. You believe in his attributes as Godhead. He's omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, infallible. That's the Savior we have. That's to look unto Jesus, but also to believe in his grace, to believe in his love for you. That's walking by faith. To enjoy and apply to your own life the love of the Savior to your own heart. He has promised to be your helper, promised to be your strength. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you live in the enjoyment of it? Do you live daily in the strength? Today, I'm putting on my clothes for the day. I'm going to enjoy the strength of the Lord. Is that reality in your life? He promises to go before you in every situation. When a little child walks through the city street with a parent, it either holds the hand or walks very close to his or her parent and wants to look up, make sure that adult is right there. The little child is conscious as walk through the city streets and all the dangers that a city street presents of cars and buses and honking horns and strangers, just to know that person's walking close by. What a difference. And keep looking just to make sure. And if we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we live in the assurance that he's with us. He's present to help, to hold, to keep, to protect, to guide. After all, he said before he left this world, I will send you another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit. And he is the vicar of Christ, the replacement, the ambassador of the Lord, and he is with us. And so as we seek to live by faith, we draw all our strength from the Lord. Now, are you doing that? Are you living a life of faith? Or do we have to accept that rebuke, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Another thing about faith. Faith gives the glory to God for things accomplished. If God blessed us in our unbelief, in our prayerless, cold, dull state, and we accomplish things spiritually for God, in our own strength, we would say, well, I did that. And we would take the praise and we would take the honor. Well, I assure you, God will never allow that. The only way that God can use His servants is when they are full of faith. Because it is through their faith that He can use them and thereby still receive the glory and the honor. And the person who is walking and working by faith recognizes this is God. Abram did that when he left Ur of the Chaldees and he stepped out. We're told in Romans that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what faith does. It gives the glory to God. Same was said of Mary. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of all those things which were told her from the Lord. Because she believed, God could use her. God could make her the instrument of bringing our Lord Jesus into the world. Now, would you be blessed of God and used of God? You must have faith. If you're not living and walking and praying and exercising faith, God can't use you. You need to labor in the fullness of a faith life that will give all the glory and all the honor to the Lord, or else He must set you aside and choose another vessel. Faith gives the glory to God. I fear that for many Christians, if God was to use them, they would run off and say, this is just the result of natural causes. If God was to come down and do something through them, it would not be a result of much prayer. It would not be a result of much trusting and looking to the Lord. It would just be all attributed to man's set of circumstances and natural causes. And therefore God won't do it. Because He is jealous of His own glory. He'll never build a church without men and women of faith. He will never bless a family without the exercise of faith. He'll never bless your life unless you are strong in faith and give the glory to God. Do you want to be used of God? I suppose that's really the first question you have to answer. Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to be the vessel that God uses? Then this is what we need. This is the greatest and foremost thing. Faith first. Faith first. That's what we must seek. Another thing about faith, it steps out on the promises of the Lord. You'll notice in verse 28 in this story here of Peter walking in the water, that before he did so, he wanted the Lord to speak. And he said to him, Lord, if it be thou, that again shows you the smallness of Peter's faith here. If it be thou, you remember they were looking through the darkness and they saw a figure and they fearful it might have been a spirit, but Jesus spoke and says, fear not, it is I. And then Peter says, if it be thou, how small was his faith. And then he says, bid me come unto thee on the water. He wanted to step out at the Lord's word, the Lord's bidding. And let me say, that's wise. That's the only way we should ever make our decisions and step out in life, is when the Lord bids us. And Peter had the word of the Lord to stand on as he would get out of that boat. And it was on that basis that he was able to walk on water, because it was the command of the Lord. You see, faith stands upon the promises. Are you doing that? Let's examine this now. Are we really standing on the promises of God day by day, facing the tasks of life and saying, the Lord has a word about that. Let's look it up. Let's get our Bible. Flick the pages. Get the concordance. Turn on the computer. Let's find that promise that God has given and stand on it. Faith will do that. Faith will lead you to say, Lord, speak to me. Give me a word. And if God has spoken, then we can step out. Are you using God's word in a faith-like manner? Or is it just a routine exercise? Oh, I've done my devotions for today. I've read a certain amount of verses, spent a certain number of minutes. Are you just a Bible researcher? or sermon taster, I have to challenge you about this. Are we really living a life of faith, standing upon the promises? I fear that at times we are acting no more different than carriers of letters for Canada Post. You see them walking with these bulging bags of mail. What are they doing with it? Putting it through the slots of other people's mailboxes. And no matter what the content, no matter what the bills or the checks that are contained in those daily routes, it has nothing to do with the carrier. He's just slotting them in. And sometimes people carry their Bibles, and that's about all they are, carriers of a Bible. And the content, it has no impact upon your life. Doesn't change your walk. Doesn't change your service for God. Unbelief does that. It's unbelief that does that. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when we worry, and when we get into a panic, and when we disturb ourselves, and God has spoken. God has spoken. But we're not standing on the promises. Let me ask you, is there a promise on the Bible that's yours? Is there a promise that's yours? You've taken that and you said, Lord, I'm going to use this in my life. Now, how old is that promise? Was it 25 years ago you did that? What about 2010? What about this new year? Have you got promises that you're standing on? Do you step out into the future of a new year and all that it brings to you? And you're leaning on the word of the Lord. That's faith. That's the exercise of faith. Faith takes that word to heart and it applies it. Surely it's time for you to start digging out the promises and exercising faith in this book that we love. Not just the theology of it, but the promises of it. And may the Lord stir your heart to use God's word with much faith. Another thing about faith is that it turns toil into joyous service. If you look at verse 24, you'll notice that it was hard going for these sailors on the ship. The ship was now in the midst of the sea. And it was nighttime, by the way. The Lord was up on the mountain praying. They were told to go ahead in the ship, and darkness came down. And the sea was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Do you ever find times in your life that it seems just like that? Everything's contrary. Everything's a struggle. And everything I attempt, I seem to get blown backwards. The wind is contrary to us. And our labor and our Christianity and our very best efforts at serving God is a toil. It's a toil. Until, of course, the Lord came and met them. What a difference it made. What a difference. What happens to many people is that the Christian life, church life, service for God becomes such a toil, they end up giving up. They just give up. And they either say God is not real, or this church is not for me, or I don't seem to be able to fit in here. And all the while they've been living in unbelief, not exercising faith. And it seems everything's contrary because of unbelief. But when the Lord came, what a difference. And when the Lord said, it is I, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. I'm in control. I'm in the midst of your life. I'm keeping an eye on what's going on here. I know all about it. And when they could see it was the Lord, it turned their toil into joyous service. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We don't give up when we have faith in that. We don't give up. We go on and we wait for the Lord to visit. Then down in verse 33, I would have you notice that faith delivers us from a spirit of fear. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Fear's over now. When they recognized it was the Lord, when they really had faith, it was over. And this is what faith does. It lifts us out of the natural into the supernatural. And they were able to say, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Of a truth. Before that, they had some unbelief about it. I'm just like Peter, if thou be. Of truth, thou art the Son of God. And now they were no longer living in fear. But oh, what fear they had. Darkness, a storm. They were toiling and toiling, and they were being driven in the wrong direction. And then they saw this figure in the distance. They thought it was a spirit. And it tells us there that they cried out. And I checked out that word. It means to cry out loud. Can you picture these fellows in this small fishing boat in the midst of Galilee in the storm and the darkness? And they are men shrieking in fear. They were panicking. And what a difference. You see, faith turns trials to praise. But fear will paralyze you. I know that the Bible says fear is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. The fear to pray out loud in a church prayer meeting. The fear to open your mouth wondering how you're going to pray. Many Christians are paralyzed and prayerless in public. They can't pray in a prayer meeting. They've got degrees and education and skills in many areas. I remember one fellow in particular. He had a little bit of a, I don't know what you call it here, a stutter, a stoppage in his speech, an impediment of the normal flow. In conversation, it could hit him once in a while. And I talked to him about praying in the prayer meeting. He said, oh, I could never do that. And then one time we had this block watch community thing coming on, and he was selling these gadgets for alarms. And he thought this would be an opportunity when the block watch was being held. He could come and present his wares, little gadgets that would protect women out walking and homes and so on. And so I was there when he made this presentation. And I tell you, I was blown away. Could that guy talk? And yet he put up all these arguments. I couldn't pray. I can't pray. What is it? It's a spiritual thing. Spiritual battle. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Fear also hinders people to witness. Well, when's the last time you really told somebody about your Savior? What holds us back? Fear, unbelief. Let's think about this. Multiply that now. Fear can destroy a congregation. Fear can make spiritual ministry absolutely ineffective, paralyzed. And it's all because of unbelief. O ye of little faith. Fear instills panic and a spirit of self-preservation. That's what was going on in this boat. It was all about self-preservation. Until they got their eyes on the Lord. Until they were able to look unto Jesus. And then that changes everything. And if your Christianity and if your worship is all about self-preservation, you're paralyzed. You're greatly hindered. Until it's about the Lord. And your faith is fixed on Him. And you are strengthened in His might. Then you become a benefit, a strength, a participant, a promoter, and a helper to the work of God. So I say this, faith will revolutionize the ministry of this church. And it comes down to the faith of one by one. There's no such thing as corporate faith. It comes down to individuals' relationship with God, living by faith. And then when we come together, then it becomes a corporate expression of that faith. But it's your faith and mine. Do you want a preacher in the pulpit that is not a man of faith? Does a preacher want to preach to people who have no faith? Does a pastor want to be in a congregation where people are spiritually paralyzed through unbelief? These are the issues. I want you to think about them. I want you to ask, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the remedy? Can you make a difference? I think we can all make a difference. And it starts with this cry, Lord, help my unbelief. And that, by the way, was Thursday evening's message, which I might preach next Sunday morning. Help my unbelief. But I've got one more thing I want to say about faith. Faith inspires us to attempt great things for the Lord. Peter stepped out to do the impossible. He would have succeeded if his faith did not fail him. And this is what happens to us. When we are full of faith in the Holy Ghost, laziness and lethargy are overcome. It's that grain of mustard seed. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, doesn't have to be big, but it has to be active and growing. What does it say? He shall say to this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. There's real living by faith. Now the other, if ye have faith statement, is Matthew 21:21. It's worth looking at here. If ye have faith, that's the Lord Jesus' words. Matthew 21:21. I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not. Now, let's get into the mind of the Lord here. Did the Lord Jesus recognize a problem in this area? He certainly did. And he knew the minds and hearts of all to whom he was speaking. He had that distinct advantage. He could know what was in the heart of man. And he says, if ye have faith and doubt not. So obviously, that would be a problem. But if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now, this is figurative language. We're not going to move Mount Baker, we're not going to move Golden Ears, we're not going to take some hump in the field and transfer all the dirt to somewhere else. This is figurative language. This is the Lord speaking about things that are necessary in the Christian's life that need to be overcome. You can do it by faith, if you have faith and doubt not. And faith enables us to attempt things that otherwise we would never even begin. And therefore Peter, initially by faith, said, Lord, bid me come unto thee, and began to walk on the water and could do it. He could do it, keeping his eyes upon the Lord. And of course, we have many examples in the Bible of men and women of faith who did great things, what would have been impossible things. And they put their faith into action, and they accomplished much for the Lord. Until you do that, we are earthbound and paralyzed, inactive, really out of service. But faith can turn you into a David who could go out against Goliath. This little, a stripling. And while others were shaking in their boots, David, full of faith, it's all he had. Didn't have armor, didn't have muscle power, he didn't have military skill, he didn't have stature, he didn't have experience, he had nothing going for him but faith. And he's the one that went out against Goliath and slew him. Now there are Goliaths for us to slay. There's the Goliath called Satan, and he's prowling around, and he will seek to destroy the image of the Lord Jesus wherever he finds it. He needs to be slain. And how do we overcome the devil? By faith. We put on the whole armor of God, and we take the shield of faith to withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. Are you doing that? Then there's the Goliath of the world. And the world has awful powers against the Christian today. So many avenues of attack, so many powerful allurements. But faith can slay the world. And then there's another Goliath. Don't have time to talk much about it now. He's not far away. In fact, one of the biggest problems I have is when people phone up from a certain part of Greater Vancouver or the country and they say, is there a church near me that you can recommend? I find that awful difficult. It's not that I don't think that unless people go to a free Presbyterian church, they're not going to a proper church. But I've done it before and got burned. Apostasy is that Goliath. It's an awful foe. How are we going to slay the giant of apostasy? How are we going to keep this church true to the Bible? How are we going to keep men and women glad that they have a place of fundamental values and worship in ways that honor the Savior? Faith, faith, that's the answer. And if people do not have faith and they complain that this worship doesn't satisfy them, then it's unbelief. O ye of little faith. Actually, I had another point I was going to preach, but time is gone. Faith will make us bold in prayer. Let me ask you about your prayer life. How many minutes a day do you really pray? What are you asking for? Let me ask you, do you enjoy prayer? Do you have the strength to get alone with God and ask, not just for things, but for spiritual power? How much do you pray for the witness of this church? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do we not believe in prayer? Is God alive? Why are we not talking to Him? I think we could put a sign up over the prayer meeting door sometimes. God is dead. Nobody wants to talk to Him. Faith makes us bold in prayer. And to enjoy it and know the benefit and power of it, let's examine our hearts today. I praise God that you are like Peter. You got out of the boat and started walking. But somewhere we can lose it. And we need to get our eyes on the Lord. Keep on believing.